Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax and I am at the convention day one. It has been a very exciting day. If you're following the saga of the concerned letter carriers, we had a pretty significant victory this morning in the hall, in the main convention hall, and the rest of it's going to play out on Wednesday. So I'm here with a special guest. His name is Eric Ellis. He was recommended by previous guest Marcy Miller, and I have not met Eric before, so you and I, the listeners and I, are going to be meeting him for the first time. So Eric, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your postal history.
Okay. Well, I've been with the post office 32 and a half years. My father is a retired postmaster. I am from California. I graduated from high school in 87. Graduated from college in 1990, had not planned on a postal career. I served a Latter-day Saint mission in Puerto Rico from 90 to 92. Was planning on going to grad school, but took a little detour.
Yeah.
Started working for the post office. What was going to be a temporary thing, I was hired as a casual in 92, TE in 93, and 32 years later, I'm still here.
That's it. Similar story. I went to school to be a teacher and took this job just to pay some bills and wound up staying. I'm 18 years in. So with 30 plus years in, let me ask you, why aren't you retired yet?
Not eligible. You could thank Ronald Reagan for that.
No,
yes, because we're not CSRS. I mean, if we were under CSRS, I would have been eligible to retire 2 weeks ago. because I turned 55. So
right.
My father, he retired as soon as he turned 55.
How close are you now? How far off is the big day?
Okay, what is this, August the 5th? So it'd be 1 year, 9 months, and 18 days, not that I'm counting.
Dude,
so 56 and 10, yeah.
Do you plan to get out when the getting's good, or are you going to stick around?
You know, it's interesting. It's something that I've thought about a lot lately, because I do wear a lot of hats in the post office and the union. I'm an academy instructor. I am also our branch legislative officer, our state district officer. I'm still a shop steward, so I do wear a lot of hats. When you're involved in so many things, you know, a lot of it basically falls under helping other people, pointing them in the right direction. You know, as an academy instructor, basically you do a lot of pointing in the right direction, meaning that you're trying to get them in contact with the right people, you know, trying to get them past the probation, giving them helpful tips to where, you know, they don't do anything dumb that would end their probation prematurely. So, for instance, telling them you show up on time. If you have any appointments that you need to get taken care of, because life doesn't stop when you're on your probation, you let them know in advance what you got going on. Other things, Sunday is just like any other day if you're delivering Amazon parcels. So if you have a special event on Sunday you need to attend to, you need to let them know in advance, like submitting a 3971.
Right.
It is one of those things that, yes, I mean, because, you know, one of the frustrating things about being an academy instructor is how many people that have been in my academy that later have gone on to say, well, I was never told that in academy. And of course, I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Same thing. Yeah. Yep. And we'll get calls sometimes from supervisors. Hey, did you tell your carriers in the academy that it's okay to go home for lunch if they live in the next town over?
No, we did not tell them. No,
that.
No, 1564A, you know, it's like, no, it doesn't, you know, I mean, now if it's on your, you know, if it's on your route, I mean, and you know, it's a listed place. That's one thing, but yeah, I know it's a pet peeve, but it is what it is, you know?
Right. So you mentioned that you wear a lot of hats with all these different activities that you do. Do you still carry the mail from time to time?
That's a good question. So where I'm at, I work out of Fresno, California. We have our academy building is East Fresno Station. There's no carrier operations out of that building anymore. They withdrew the carriers some, you know, like 30 years ago. And so, I teach the academy on a 3-person rotation. Actually, lately it's been kind of on a 2-person rotation. So I would say roughly 52-week year, I would say I teach the class 20-21 weeks.
Wow. So about half of the weeks. Yeah, to it. If you account for vacation, probably about half of your work
Yes.
Wow, right on. And then with your other activities, that must cut in, you know, being a steward, doing the political activism.
Yes.
Right, that must cut into the time as well.
Yeah.
So that's nice. At least it breaks up your work. It doesn't get monotonous.
Exactly.
And the academy is always interesting. You know, you get new students in there all the time. And
from a variety of backgrounds, too.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, that's one of the things I always loved about the academy is seeing, we had people in, you know, who are 18 years old. I've had people in who were in their 70s coming to, you know, the funny thing is, like, sometimes people come in thinking that it's a part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll just do this on the side to make a little money, and they do not know the kind of hours they're in for.
Yes.
Right. Is it that way in Fresno as well, where CCs are working tons of hours?
Okay, now, the San Joaquin Valley, it's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde thing where Fresno, for the longest time, we were shorthanded. You know, I mean, basically, a station manager told me to tell the newbies, okay, expect to be worked 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. But a lot of times it was more than that. But there was a three-week stretch earlier this year where Fresno totally overhired. We had 8 to 10 people in a class 3 weeks in a row. And then right after that, we had too many bodies.
Right.
And so they weren't getting any hours. And so, but then you have adjoining cities like Los Banos, where they're working them 12 hours, or 11 and a half. I mean, but they're working them crazy hours.
In the same installation, so it would be easy to send CCAs over?
Well, okay, so Fresno, we have 5 stations.
Okay.
So you could send CCAs within stations within Fresno. Actually,
right.
You could send them to adjoining cities as well. But Los Banos, on the other hand, is surrounded by cities where they are habitually shorthanded. So, yeah, I mean, it's just there's some places that because in our academy, we get new people from all over the place. We get them from the San Joaquin Valley, but we also get them from the Monterey Peninsula on the coast. We get them as far south as Santa Barbara County.
Because there aren't other academies to send
them. Well, there are.
Okay, but so why would they come to you?
That's a good question. well, it's because I don't know about Tulare. Tulare would handle the people from Visalia. I know Bakersfield has an academy, but we do get people from all over. It may be that their academy, that they have too many people at their academy, maybe a given week, so they send the overage to us. That's one possibility.
Okay.
But, district makes a decision as to where to send these
right.
people. And, yes, I mean, they are opening up an academy in Salinas, is my understanding. So we shouldn't be getting anybody from the Monterey area. But the post office being what it is, I can't, it's like, it's kind of hard to predict.
You never know what they're actually thinking.
Yes.
Right. In Las Vegas, we would get carriers from central Nevada, mm-hmm. and we would get carriers from southern Utah, but it was because we are the only academy.
Yes.
It was either that or send them to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, okay.
And so, they come down to Las Vegas, it's easy to get to, mm-hmm. and then we would teach them there. And it was always interesting to get people from completely different backgrounds, have completely different delivery circumstances, and hear about their experiences. You know, what it was like for Shadow Day from somebody in Ely, Nevada, very different than somebody from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's the same there as well.
Yes.
Yep. All right. So how long have you been an academy instructor?
Since September of 2016.
All right.
And that's an interesting story behind that, because I was sent to West Sacramento for the facilitator training, and there were 13 people in my class, including the instructor. I was the only city carrier in there. The rest were rural carriers and clerks. Mm-hmm. I was the only guy in there as well, which felt really weird. Because you're in a majority, pretty much all my career, it's a male-dominant, workplace.
Yes.
And to be in a classroom setting where they're all women, it's like, I thought, all these years of male chauvinism, I thought, okay, they're going to let me have it now. It was actually a pretty cool experience. I mean, they're all nice,
Excellent.
The only problem is for the dogs, for the selection of, the dogs that we use for, to talk about, dog attacks, I got the last pick. So I couldn't get Clifford the red dog or anything like that.
Right.
I got Jack, which is just a normal looking dog, teach him about dog attacks. But
right.
It is what it is.
So in your area, how supportive is management in terms of like getting the materials that you need for class, getting the time that you need for classes, things like that?
Okay, so I am on the overtime desired list, which means there have been times, days where I've taught the class but then gone to my station to work overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, because we've had so many bodies, I'm hardly getting any overtime. In terms of getting the...
What about like prep time for the class?
Well, I don't really have issues with that.
Okay.
We're allowed to start at 7 o'clock
okay.
in the morning, whereas the start time in Fresno is 8. So we're allowed to start early on Saturdays. They actually allow me to start at 6:30 if I'm teaching the class that day, because we have people coming from far away. That way you get them out of there earlier, because sometimes they start them the very next day out delivering Amazon, Sunday parcels. So. Yeah, I mean, I really haven't had issues with management since the pandemic ended. Pretty much, I've had free rein to pretty much run the academy class how I want. I mean, with very minimal interference.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. I know when I was in the academy in Las Vegas, most of the time I never saw the director of training for
mm-hmm.
the district. But I would see a counterpart in training who ran the class for all practical purposes. No. But my actual boss, I maybe said 20 words to him over the course of 3 years, and that was really nice to not have that oversight.
Yeah.
And to be able to innovate the class and teach it the way you want. So what are some of the things that you add to the class that you think enrich your academy?
Well, there's one thing, the second day when we talk about accountable, we talk about postage Jews, for instance, right?
Sure.
I bring in examples from ancient history. And when I say ancient history, I'm talking about 93 when I was first hired. The most popular stamp was the Elvis stamp. But back then, stamps had a face value. So the Elvis stamp was a 29-cent stamp. And I actually have a lapel pin, with the Elvis stamp on it. And so I explained, well, in 1995, prices went up to 32 cents, so here's a Marilyn Monroe stamp, right? And so I explained back then we had a lot more postage dues because each stamp had a face value.
Right, before the forever stamp.
Exactly. So yep. If you had somebody who bought a bunch of 29-cent stamps and they sent a 1 ounce letter out with a 29-cent stamp, well, that's a postage due because you owe 3 cents on it because now the price is 32 cents in 95. So we used to have to go to the door a lot more for the postage dues.
Right, and to collect 3 cents.
Cents. And so I explained to the class, that's why we don't have as many postage dues as we used to, because now we have the forever stamp.
Right.
And so that's one of the things I show the class. They think, oh, wow, that's really neat. It's like, and actually I do too. It's like, I kind of takes me back. It's like, well, I am that old, that I remember,
right.
delivering welfare checks. For instance, they used to come certified mail. Now they have the EFT card. So you don't see as many of those. So there are things where I make great emphasis to the class. When we talk about the business portion of the class on the fourth day, that with not so much first class mail, basically, I hold up a first class letter and a parcel. It's like, okay, we have a lot less of this and more of this,
right.
Meaning that, and so we talk about submitting leads. I will actually submit leads in front of the class. I know that we do it now on the scanner,
right.
But all the time on my route, I see business cards in the mailbox. People would drop stuff on my front porch. So in front of the class, what I'll do is I'll take a picture of it and I'll submit it as a lead to my customer connect lead in Santa Clarita. So I will do that just to show the class, hey, look, I practice what I preach, and you guys need to start doing this. When you find opportunities, because money doesn't grow on trees, taxes don't pay our salaries.
Absolutely, that's one of the benefits. I would teach this as well with Customer Connect, that we have this huge benefit over companies like FedEx and UPS, and that we are at people's homes and businesses every single
yes.
day. And we have these opportunities to see businesses grow. One of the things that I would love is to watch a show like Shark Tank.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You'd see this family shipping out of their garage, and they open up the garage door, and there's all these USPS bins, and they got the kids stacking the bins. And then they get the investment from the sharks, and you come back 6 months later, and now they're in a proper warehouse, and they roll up the doors, and it's all these USPS bins.
Uh-huh.
Because we have that relationship, we nurture that relationship,
yeah.
And that's why it's so important to go into those businesses every day to develop that bond.
And it's not as hard as people think. For instance, you take a business that ships stuff out, FedEx or UPS, How hard is it to go up to the business owner and say, hey, I noticed you were shipping out with these other guys. Are you aware that we don't charge a fuel surcharge for picking up your parcels?
Right. Or they might not residential surcharges.
Or residential, exactly. Yeah. That we pick up your parcels for free.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not a lot of businesses are not aware of that. Maybe they took over from their from their parents or whatever, and they're just running it the same way they did. And it might be just they just haven't taken the time to research different shipping options, but. Mm-hmm. But that's something that that conversation, or let's say you have a restaurant that's opening up on your route. How hard is it to go up to that? Because people don't use the newspapers to advertise anymore because it's just too expensive.
Well,
so,
good day.
Yeah, so how many people do you know subscribe to the newspaper? Which actually we're delivering again, and I know in our we're actually delivering newspapers in Fresno again.
Okay.
But anyways. But not a lot of people.
Too few of them to have a paper route anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but there aren't a lot of people who subscribe. So, if someone wants to get the word out, they're opening up a business. How hard is it to say, hey, you want to know about an economical way to get the
right.
word out?
Every door direct mail.
And then they every door direct mail. And yep. It's like, hey, so I can take down your contact info, forward it to my, my lead in Santa Clarita. He'll get back to you and.
Right.
See what happens. I mean, those aren't hard conversations to have.
No, they're not, especially if you're already developing that relationship with your customers.
Mm-hmm.
I know I get every door direct mails that are from restaurants, mm-hmm. and I deliver them to a restaurant, and the restaurant says, why are you giving me this? It's an ad for my competitor.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, A, I'm supposed to, but B, you could be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's way more cost effective than you might think.
And another thing, too, is that you know, and I know that this is a City Carrier Academy, but I also let them know, like the first day when we do the go around of the station, I emphasize the importance of looking at the bulletin board, of making sure you're checking out your blue page for job announcements, because it's not just for opting purposes where, you know, of course you need to keep your ears open for opting, because it's not just looking at the vacation schedule. It's just you have sometimes these, you know, knitting circles on the workroom floor, you know, don't mind their own business, but you listen to those conversations because they might just say, well, Eric over here, man, he's teaching the class every week. I hear he's going to be on the detail for like 5 months. Okay, well, you're listening right in, because if Eric has the nicest route in the office, well, you're going to want to opt on his route, right, for 5 months.
Right.
But the other thing, too, is that there are other opportunities in the post office besides delivering mail if you're interested.
Right.
You know, and I don't begrudge somebody if they once they get established in the post office, if they're interested in safety, being a safety officer, that's not hard because a lot of people don't want to do that, so because they don't want to be in those telecons and do the stand-ups. But the thing is it. If you get in front of the right people, you know, a lot of those, you know, safety people at district level, I mean, yeah, it's like being on a route inspection detail where, you know, those guys, I mean, oh, you're in an air-conditioned office.
Right.
You know, and
it's
like
easier on your body.
It's easier on your body. Or if you have to go outside, if you're doing carrier observations, you're in an air-conditioned vehicle.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I don't begrudge somebody who wants to do that, but they're – I think sometimes we shortchange people by not making them aware that, yes, I mean, you know, you're being hired as a letter carrier, you know, pass your probation, do all that. But once you're established, right, you know, if you want to look at doing other things, yeah, that's all well and good. I mean, people
absolutely
do that all the time.
In a recent reading on my podcast, I've read the entire ELM from cover to cover.
Okay.
And there are sections in there about job postings and how, yeah, you're supposed to hear about opportunities exactly like you're talking about. Unfortunately, in Las Vegas, they're very lackadaisical about posting those openings.
Yes.
And I even sent an email to our human resource person in Las Vegas, never got a response.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to follow back up on that. That's a good
question.
Yes. Because people have talents that aren't utilized.
That's right.
In the post office. You know, I have a talent for education or for communication, and if I didn't hear about that Carrier Academy detail, I wouldn't be able to use that. Same for you.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's another thing, too, is that within the union, because, of course, we do a union presentation, one of the things I bring up is that it's not hard to be involved in the union because a lot
right
of people don't want to step up. We take the route inspection detail that I know that just ended in May. But people who've been involved with that, and I've seen these people coming up who were involved in that detail for the last year and a half. They showed up at meetings. Whenever they asked for volunteers, they raised their hand. And that's all it took. And so for a year and a half, they were on this detail. And I, you know, sometimes people's ears perk up because, well, you know what? Maybe I'd be interested in doing that. And that's a way to be, and it's not, but it's not hard.
Yeah. And in many cases, if you apply for one of these details, you're going to be the only applicant.
Yes.
And
that's
so
sad. Sad to say, but.
Yeah. It's easier to get those jobs than you might think.
But of course, they still have to pass their probation, which is a stumbling
right
block for a lot of people, you know. But but yes, I mean, within the union, and we talk more about this, and I, you know, all the hats that I wear, I mean, and I've had opportunities to maybe do other full-time assignments, but I do enjoy delivering mail, and, you know, I being domiciled, you know, in Fresno, because I know a lot of times with assignments where you're out of town a lot, yeah, you know, it's like, because I know when I've done, several times I was released to do campaign work, where, yeah, you spend a lot of time away from home, and,
right,
you know, some people don't like doing that, but, you know, it is what it is.
That is true. So let me ask you, when you are on your academy detail,
mm-hmm,
do you get level 2 pay?
Yes, I do.
Nice. Marcy was saying on the other episode that she does not get level 2 pay.
Which is wrong, because you're doing administrative work. You know, you have
right
to send people's 1260s to district. You have to follow up with, you know, getting their schedule.
I'm all for the level 2 pay.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah,
that.
I'm thinking that it's something in the next round. Like once we get our new contract, then we'll have the local agreements renewed.
Yes.
And to me, that's something that should go into the local agreement. It should be codified.
Yes,
because there is no consistency across the country.
Or if it was possible for it to be put in a national agreement, which I don't know
that
it is.
That's a really good idea.
It's too late
to get into this convention, but
actually, you know what? I just submitted two resolutions from the floor because you know. So I mean, I'm just saying
right
one could be written.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
right
but the thing is that yes, I mean, a resolution can be submitted, and then that's part of the contractual bargaining.
Right.
That's a bargaining position of the union in
yeah
contracts going forward. It's too late for this contract. I think that's
right
what you're saying. So possibly,
well, who knows? We might not have another contract before the next convention
yeah
rolls
but
around.
but definitely for the next contract, yeah, we should work on getting
right
one written up. Yes.
Right. All right, so let me ask you a couple more things before we get out of here. A big one is, listeners, you guys know that I have a soft spot in my heart for CCAs. They're treated so badly, and they have these rough working conditions. Eric, what do you think can be done to help reduce turnover and to help nurture our CCAs?
Well, you know, I know that we're talking about this at the convention is, you know, a higher rate of pay.
Of course.
You know, when I...
That notwithstanding, yes.
But there are other things, too. I know that one of the things that I do at my academy, and interestingly enough, you know, like if you look at the July postal record, I write the California article under state summaries. One of the things that I do on the last day is basically trying to get – I know deferred gratification is not an easy thing for people. You have to basically look ahead to where you're a career employee and all the career benefits that you get. So I list 11 or 12 – career benefits that once you make part-time, flexible, or regular, you know, when you look at that, the total benefit package, it is hard to beat. It's just getting there because being a CCA now, you know, $19.33 an hour, it's not a living wage.
No, it's not.
And so that's what's tough. Another thing too, I was going to say was that I make it a point to get the contact info for their union branch president, for their shop stewards, if I can get it. And that's the contact info I give them on the last day to make sure that they have that info, just and also make sure that they're aware that if they're doing a route for the first time, make sure that you have the contact info for the other CCAs in the office, for the swing carrier, so that if they get lost on the route, they have somebody to call. Because I think a lot of people quit because just out of frustration is that they get lost on the route. You know, it just snowballs into being more frustrated. So make sure you have people's contact info, so where if you're looking for a wall-mounted box and you can't find it, because oftentimes that's the most hardest thing to find. It's like, well, call the swing carrier. It's like, hey, you know, I'm having a hard time finding this box. Oh, just, you know, go inside past security desk, go two doors over, and that's where it is.
It's true.
Yeah. So that's some of the things that I think could help is that making sure they're in contact with the right people once they get to their duty station and just kind of giving them hope that, okay, you know what, yes, probation is hard, you know, it's like, you know, but you put your head down, you get through it, but these are tips to help you get through it, meaning that you show up on time, make sure you have the contact info. If there is a contractual violation, okay, you're not going to be demonstrative on the workroom floor, but if you have your shop steward's number, call them after the fact and say, hey, look, this is what happened. They worked me 13 hours. And then when the shop steward does a doc request, they'll keep your name out of it. They'll just request the tax reports for everybody.
Because CCAs are rightly concerned about retaliation.
Yes.
And even if management, you know, can't necessarily fire them once they're past their probation, they can cut CCA hours.
Yes,
and there's a lot of things they can do to make CCA's lives miserable. And so overcoming that fear of retaliation is a tremendous help.
Yes.
That's a really good call.
Yeah. I mean, there are things that you can do, but, you know, it's just that, again, having a supportive work, a work environment where you have a shop steward who's actively involved, you know, having other carriers that are looking out for you. You know, I know that there are some places where, you know, you do have overtime desireless people who are just, they see the CCAs coming in, and, you know, that happened with me too back when I was a transitional employee. They saw me as like the enemy. It's like, yeah, you're taking away my overtime. I can't buy my yacht.
When I came in 2006, I had the same issue. Yeah. And it's funny how that ebbs and flows, because we had the experience of, oh, you're stealing my overtime. And now in so many places, a new hire comes in. Oh, thank God.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So, but those are, you know, so that's kind of some things. And we actually bring in our health benefits rep to talk to him about, signing up for health insurance. Now he actually has a handout to explain to him how to sign up for CareFirst, what the benefits are, and that. But also talks about our health benefit plan, the NELC one, so that when they make regular, you know, they consider signing up for that. But basically, when they become a career employee, they have 60 days to sign up from the conversion date and make sure that you don't miss the deadlines. And we also talk about things like qualifying life events. If you miss a deadline, well, if you have a qualifying life event, marriage, death, divorce, childbirth, adoption, foster, okay, you know, you can sign up.
Right.
Under those, people are unaware of a lot of things. Like, for instance, when you become a career employee, you have 60 days to sign up for life insurance. If you miss that cutoff outside of a qualifying life event, they only have open season for signing for life insurance maybe once every 15 years, maybe.
This is such a good point, and it helps me to remember that 70 episodes into Classes of Mail, there's still so much more basic information that needs to be covered. And what you're talking about is exactly right, that that you have these opportunities to make the most of your postal benefits, and people miss those opportunities.
Yes, and they're you're right. It's like, so that the California article, and I've written this a couple times, but I don't know if how much more time we have, but
we're coming to the end.
Okay, but the ones I list, for instance, as a current employee, defined pension, yearly raises and cost of living adjustment. So I have a chart that shows the COLAs we've received since 1995.
Right.
And shows that without the COLA, you know, we're down 14, 15, 16,000.
Right. The current drought in COLAs notwithstanding.
Yeah, notwithstanding. Health insurance, of course, you know, life insurance if you sign under FEGLI, union representation under collective bargaining agreement, thrift savings plan where if you put in 5%, you get the match, a uniform allowance. We talk about that. I have a handout on that. 75% of your salary based on if you're injured on the job. Annual leave of 13, 20, or 26 days per year, depending on years of career federal service. Sick leave. Okay, we talk about that, what you can use that for. One thing that people aren't aware of for sick leave is that if you have a doctor's, dentist, or optical appointment, you can use sick leave for that.
Absolutely.
A lot of times, management will talk you out of that.
Well, the new hires don't get sick leave.
Well, of course, but when they do, it's 11 paid holidays if you're a regular. And if you're a CCA, you get six legislative. Well, I don't really cover the legislative program, but I do mention in passing that we do have representatives, who, you know, liquids who talk to each, you know, congressperson on our issues, but I kind of leave it at that because, you know, we can't talk about that on the working floor. Overtime over 8, overtime penalty over 10, a steady paycheck. I've had 4 government shutdowns in 32 years in the post office. I've never missed a paycheck.
That's right.
Exactly. And then, of course, access to flexible spending accounts. People aren't aware of that either because I know this year they upped it to, what, $3,200 that we could put in an FSA, and probably next year they'll up it some more. That's pre-tax money. That's you know, if you have something going on, like maybe your kid's getting braces or you have a root canal. I mean, I just had an extraction plus I have a crown put in. That was like $820 between the two. Well, my FSA is going to take care of that.
That's nice.
You know, but those are things that we need to make these people aware of, that when they're a career employee, even though, you know, CCA, you know, time as a CCA is tough and, you know, it's like you just got to get through that. But once once you make career, this is what's waiting for you. And that's not what In-N-Out Burger, McDonald's, they don't offer that.
Right. What you're speaking to here, when I came in immediately as a PTF. And so I had access to these things. And that was one of the things that kept me going at the post office. That, wow, well, I'm building something for my long-term future.
Yes.
And it's one of the reasons that it's so important to switch back to that all-career workforce.
Yes, I definitely agree with that.
Right.
Yes.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for coming on. This has been eye-opening, and it's great to see the perspective of other instructors. So I will see more of you at the convention.
Yes,
and
you will.
Thanks again for being on Classes of Mail.
Okay.
All right.